Thank you. Well, I'd certainly like to ask for your prayers today, and if you would like to read along with me in the scripture reading today, I'm going to read what I'm sure is some very familiar scriptures to most, and they're found in the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. So if you have your Bibles today and want to follow along and read along, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading, Lord willing, the first 10 verses of this chapter for a scripture lesson today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, when I was reading these scriptures, I thought that not long ago, and I don't really know honestly when that it was, but it seemed like it was not long ago that I had read these scriptures and really couldn't remember, right off the top of my head, the thought that I had tried to convey in those, what the Lord had placed upon my heart and mind. I know that there have been a few times that some of you have told me you had something marked in your Bible of a certain date that I had read some scripture and preached on that, and I always think, well, I'll take your word for it, because my memory doesn't always serve me well. But I know the thought that the Lord has placed upon my heart for this hour, and I want to use these words for a title: My Soul is Satisfied. My soul is satisfied. In the 107th Psalm, in the 9th verse, the psalmist talking about God said, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. God does that. Now, there doesn't seem to be in the world today, there doesn't seem to be very much contentment and very much satisfaction when it comes to the things of the flesh. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, in the 10th verse, Solomon said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, and he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy here, condemned and rebuked the love of money. Solomon said, he that loveth silver will not be satisfied with silver. And don't you know how true that is? And how many times we have seen that statement that Solomon made come true in the lives of people. You know, people that love money, I mean, people that truly love mammon, love the riches of life, they can't ever seem to get enough, can they? They can't ever seem to become content or satisfied with it. And I have been thinking lately, you know, the good Lord seems to have lately been dealing with me. And I've been thinking a lot about how thankful that I am for what God has done for me in this life. I mean, He has just blessed me tremendously. You know, and it's not with the temporal things of this life. Now, you know, these people that are doing this, they can do all of this health, wealth, and prosperity preaching and teaching that they want to do. But I'm here to tell you today that God has better things for people than the temporary things of this world. In fact, the Bible teaches me that the Lord Jesus Christ came that we might be able to escape the pollutions of this world through lust. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul here, he, in what I believe to be pretty strong language, I mean, he didn't, you know, in this, his writing here that we have recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul wasn't pulling any punches, was he? He was just telling it like it is. He said, we brought nothing into this world. Nothing. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, there we know that we're all going to die. We know that the Bible teaches us that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And the only good way and the only proper way to do that is to die in the Lord. That's the only good death that there is when somebody dies in the Lord. I witnessed firsthand death again last night. And I'm persuaded and have been thinking about that all through the remainder of the night last night and early this morning. I'm persuaded that it was a good death. And I might talk about that a little bit here as I go on. But I'm thankful to God today for His spiritual blessings. I'm telling you today, there are things that we don't see with our natural eyes that are much better than the things that we do see. There are things invisible that are much greater than things, there are things invisible that are much greater than things that are visible. There are things that are spiritual that are far greater than things that are tangible. And you know, to be honest with you, I wish the world would get on board with that. I mean, I wish that they would embrace that and realize that there are things that are greater and more important than money and fame and popularity and all these things that people seek after so diligently. There's greater things to be had. When we sing the song that we sing from time to time, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I mean, aren't there times that you can sing that song and really feel it in your heart? And really know, you know, I've got something within me, something in my heart that's greater than all of these things. You know, this very thing that I am talking about today, it led Jesus to the point while he was here on earth that he asked the question, what if a man gained the whole world and lost his own soul? What profit would it be to him? Think about it. The whole world. You know, not just a rich corner of it, but what if he gained all of the world and did not have the spiritual blessings of the Lord in his heart and upon his life? What good would it do him? Now, I'm telling you today that there is satisfaction and there is contentment to be had without those things. Nobody believes that? There is contentment and satisfaction to be had without material wealth. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches us time and time and time again. I'm telling you, some of the most content, satisfied people that have ever lived in this world had very little of its goods as they passed through this life. You know what I thought about? Brother Collins was kind enough Wednesday night to share with us things from his recent trip to Africa. And he told us again, I was reminded again, of our brothers and our sisters on that continent, far away from us, that are forced to live a much different daily way of life than what we live. They have a completely different culture. They live a completely different lifestyle than what you and I have ever been accustomed to. Brother Collins mentioned in the things that he shared with us at prayer meeting, he mentioned how that, you know, we could not imagine some of the places that these Christians there in Africa dwell from day to day, some of their houses that they live in. And, you know, probably when they come here and visit us, probably there's a great cultural shock that they see in the things that we have that they don't know anything about. And I thought about that and I pondered those things and I thought, you know, even in that, I'm convinced that in the Lord, that even in their meager surroundings, even in their poor surroundings, that they have a satisfaction and they have a contentment within them that the richest people in the world don't have. I mean, those who are the wealthiest according to the standard of worldly wealth, they don't have the contentment and the satisfaction that those poor people have. And I mean poor according to the standards of this life. No child of God is really poor. If you've been saved by God's grace, no matter where you live, or no matter the size of your bank account, whether it's big or whether it's small, I'm sure you've heard the statement, the clothes make the man or the shoes make the man. Well, if that's true, that's a pitiful man, isn't it? I mean, that's a sad man if what we have in this life, if what a person has in this life, these things that are going to pass away, just like the Apostle Paul wrote here. We didn't bring any of it with us, and we won't take any of it out. Silver. Those that love silver, they're not satisfied with silver. I told you this before. I read this years ago in the newspaper. I read where this man in the state that he lived in had won the lottery. I'm going to tell you just what I think about it. I think if any of you that are children of God, if you're out trying to win the lottery, you ought to just quit. We ain't got any business playing stuff like that. But this man in the state that he lived in, he won the lottery. And, it was millions upon millions, hundreds of millions. If I remember right, it was like 300 million. It was a crazy amount, whatever it was, that this man had won in this lottery. And they interviewed him, of course. You know, now if he would have just got saved, they wouldn't have ran to him and interviewed him, but he won all this money, and so they had to get him in the newspaper. I mean, that's big news, isn't it? And so, he had won all of this money. I mean, more money than a person could possibly need in this life. And they interviewed him about it, and they asked him about what his future plans were. And you know what he said? He said, I'm going to try to win it again. Yeah, I mean, he let that be printed right there in the newspaper for God and everybody to see. I'm going to try to win this again. You know what? He wasn't even satisfied with an abundance, was he? He was, what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 5:10 was just came right out in the life of that man. You know, if we will keep our eyes and ears open, we will see and hear God's word being fulfilled all the time. Solomon said it long ago, he that loves silver is not satisfied with silver. Amen. I mean, we see it come to fruition in the lives of people all the time. But now I'll tell you what. God put something down in my soul. God gave me something. This summer will be 41 years ago when the Lord saved me. And when He did, He completely satisfied my soul. I have never in my years as a child of God, I have never felt like that I needed more salvation. I've always felt content that I have enough to take me to heaven when life is over. I've never felt lacking in that. I've never felt any insufficiency in that. I believe that God gave me everything I need when He saved me by His grace. I don't need any more. I've got enough. All that I need to take me home to be with God. And I'll tell you what, there have been times when the dark clouds were hanging low in life. There have been times when life was trying me. There have been times when, I was facing things in life that to be able to remember and to be reminded that no matter what, that I was a child of the King, that satisfied me, and that helped me to make it through things that I could have never been content with if I would have been able, if I would have tried in those times to have said, well, it's okay because, man, I got a great big bank account. telling you, it just wouldn't have been sufficient. But the fact that I belong to God and that these things too shall pass and that all of these trials here, no matter what it is, no matter how much sorrow that it might bring or no matter how much heartache that it might bring, that it's going to pass and I've got a home in heaven when life is over, I'm telling you that has satisfied me when nothing else could have even come close. If you don't know what I'm talking about today, you need to find out. If you don't know what I'm boasting in today, you need to get it. We brought nothing in. We won't carry anything out. All of these other things are temporal. Paul said, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, of all kinds of evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We even have a account in the scriptures where there was a man one time that tried to buy the things of God. You know what the Apostle Peter told him? Thy money perish with thee. You can't buy them, can you? There's nothing that in this world... let me tell you, the reason why Jesus said what he did, the question that Jesus asked, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Well, the question is nothing, because if he gained all the world, it still wouldn't be enough to offer God for salvation. It cannot be bought because it's already been bought. Jesus bought it. Jesus paid the price that had to be paid. It's been paid in full. He paid it with his blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. And the only way that it can be obtained is by those that come to God seeking his free gift through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God above everything in life. I'll tell you what, listen, if you've been saved, I'm going to say this. If you've been saved and you're chasing after fame and you're chasing after popularity and you're chasing after the riches of this life, forget about it. You don't need them. You don't need those things. Jesus is all we need. I'm telling you, he's all that we need. He satisfies the longing soul. We're not to lust after those things, are we? We're not to covet those things. The Bible teaches us that we are to covet spiritual gifts. We are to earnestly desire the things of the Lord, not the things of this world, because they'll perish. They'll perish. Thank God for his unspeakable gift. I'm telling you, those that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin are the most prosperous people that have ever lived. Now, the world can't see that. They just can't see that. They can't see that these people throughout the ages, oftentimes, like our brethren and sisters that I mentioned in other places, that don't have hardly any of the world's goods. And listen, there have been times, there's still some among us here today that haven't yet passed from the scenes of this life that can tell you about a time, even here in this country, when they had to live a much more meager lifestyle than what people are living today, but yet they had contentment and satisfaction in their heart because they knew God, and that's where it's at. That's where it's at. I'm thankful for what the Lord has blessed me with. You know, these people, I'm just going to be honest with you, these people that get on television and they act like they're, you know, they try to convince people that they're a preacher and all they want to tell them about is owning big houses and stuff like that. You know, it's obvious to me they don't have anything. If they really knew the Lord, they'd be trying to tell other people, you need to come to Jesus. He'll really make you rich. Forget about this other stuff. But I'm thankful for what God has done for me. I'm thankful that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'd rather be serving you today here at Fairview Memorial, I'd rather be serving you as your pastor here today than I would to be trying to serve this nation in any political office you could name. I'd rather be with the people of God. As David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I'd rather be right here among the people of God than to be rubbing elbows with people in the biggest country club you could think of, or the biggest social gathering that you could name. I'm content. Aren't you content? Are you happy in the Lord? Are you satisfied with what God has done? I hope so. We ought to be. We ought to be. We ought to be the most content people in the world. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't judge the life of a person by the temporal things that they possess. Judge them by what they know spiritually. I mean, if you really want to accurately assess the life of a person, don't judge them by the houses that they own or the land that they own or the cars that they own. Judge by whether or not they know the Lord. That's the true standard. That's the true standard. I pray that everybody here will come to know Him. Because I'll tell you what, there's never going to be anything in life that will give you the pleasure and the peace and the contentment and the happiness. You know what? When I lay down on my bed at night, put my head on my pillow, and get ready to go off to sleep, and I've done this many times, and I get ready to go off to sleep and have this little thought pass through my mind, well, if I don't wake up here, that'll be okay. I'll wake up with God in heaven. I'll tell you what, you know, I wouldn't trade that for all that peace for all the money in the world. I mean, I never have, not one time have I ever laid down at night and said, well, you know, if I don't wake up here, it'll be all right because I got a little bit of money in the drawer over there. That don't satisfy me one bit. But to know that it's well with my soul, what a great peace to know that it's well with you and the Lord. God bless you. I appreciate your attention today. Maybe somebody has something on your heart.